Let me say up front that I am not a theologian. I have a degree in absolutely nothing. I know what I know because I've studied Catholic theology and history over the last 20 years on my own. For that reason, I have a better than average knowledge of these things. That being said, I'm not infallible, especially when it comes to this subject. I'm going to present these views as best I understand them, but that doesn't mean that I won't get a few things wrong. Also, there are books and books and talks and lectures, hours and hours from people explaining these views. There's no way in a 10 or 15 minute video that I can thoroughly and exhaustively give these positions or do them justice. So I encourage you to look into these subjects on your own, and I'm not above correction. If I get something wrong, let me know in the comments. First of all, I'm going to address the elephant in the room, Calvinism. The term predestination and the Calvinist view of predestination seem to go hand in hand in people's minds. When you say predestination, people think of the Calvinist view of predestination. The Calvinist version of predestination is summed up with the acronym TULIP, which stands for total depravity, original sin has deprived mankind of the ability to freely choose God. This is a denial of free will and condemned by the Catholic Church. Unconditional election. God, through no condition, elected who will be saved and who will not be saved. Limited atonement. Christ died for the elect only. He did not die for those who end up being damned. This, too, has been condemned by the Catholic Church. Irresistible grace. God gives grace only to the elect, and they are not able to resist it. They have to respond and be saved. This has also been condemned. The Catholic Church says God gives everybody sufficient grace to save their souls. The predestination of the elect. Those who are saved were predetermined before time began to be saved, and those who are damned were predetermined before time to be damned. The Catholic Church calls this double predestination, because not only are the saved predestined to be saved, but the damned are predestined to be damned, and there's nothing that you can do to change it. If you are predestined to be saved, it doesn't matter how bad you are, you're going to be saved. If you are predestined to be damned, it doesn't matter how good you are, you're going to be damned. Now, the Calvinist view of predestination has been condemned by the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church is very clear. Christ died for all and offers all, not just the elect, salvation. God wills that all men be saved and gives every human being sufficient grace to save their souls. We have free will and the ability to accept or reject God's grace. God is all-knowing, and God has predestined the elect, those who will be saved, from all time to be saved. The problem is, how do we reconcile God's providence of who will be saved and man's free will to either accept or reject salvation? The Church has not said, and we are free to leave it as a mystery and say that somehow God's plan of predestination and our free will work together, but we don't know how. And the Catholic Church is content to leave things as a mystery until the Holy Spirit reveals it. And when and if the Holy Spirit does reveal it, he will reveal it to the magisterium of the Catholic Church, not to Pastor Bob or Preacher Joe. It is Protestants that say we have to have an answer for everything, which is why they end up splitting into 1,000 pieces and end up in heresy. There are, however, schools of thought which we are approved to believe. We don't have to believe one of these schools, but if we choose to, then we are within the realm of Catholic teaching, and we are not heretics. The two most prominent schools of thought are the Thomistic view, which is the view of the Dominicans, and the Molinist view, which is the view of the Jesuits. The Thomistic view. The Thomistic view affirms a total predestination of the elect through no condition, like the Calvinists. In other words, those who are saved were predetermined to be saved unconditionally. They did not merit it in any way. However, they affirm that God gives sufficient grace to all men to save their souls, and if they don't, it is through their free will rejection of that grace. So he doesn't predestine them to hell, like in the Calvinist view. But to the elect, those who will be saved, he gives efficacious grace that will affect their salvation. Now, this sounds a lot like double talk. Those who do get saved are saved because God chooses them to be saved. Everyone else is not saved, but it's because of their free will rejection of God. This also sounds an awful lot like Calvinism. But to be fair, there is a big difference. If I can give an analogy, let's say a man is going to throw a party and there are 100 people, and he gives all 100 people an invitation to his party. Now, he makes it clear in this invitation that the party is going to be on a Tuesday evening and everyone is going to help him clean out his garage. However, he unconditionally selects 20 people. And in their invitation, he makes it very clear that anyone who shows up to the party will receive $1 million. The day of the party happens, and those 20 people that he selected and gave the special invitation to are the only ones who show up. The other 80 choose not to come. Now, obviously, the man throwing the party represents God. The 100 people represent all of humanity. The 20 represent the elect. The general invitation that everyone gets represents sufficient grace. The special invitation that the 20 people get represents efficacious grace, and the party represents salvation. The fact that he gave the 20 people a special invitation and the other 80 just a generic invitation is irrelevant. He is under no obligation to give everyone the same amount of information. He gave sufficient opportunity for all 100 people to show up. So those 80 who didn't show up had sufficient opportunity to show up, they just didn't. But it was their free will choice not to. The 20 that did show up also did so of their own free will, and they were not forced. Now, using this same analogy in the Calvinist view, the man only gives the special invitation to the 20 unconditionally selected people, the other 80 he does not invite. And that's the one big problem with Calvinism, the idea that God predestined people to hell. That's condemned by the Catholic Church. And in the Calvinist view, we do not have free will to accept or reject God's invitation, which is also condemned. God has to make the first act, which he does to everybody, but then we have to respond. The Molinist view. The Molinist view is named after the Jesuit priest who formulated the theory, Luis de Molina, in the 16th century. Not to be confused with Yadier Molina, catcher for the St. Louis Cardinals. In this view, God uses what is called middle knowledge. He contemplated all the possible worlds that he could create. That's God using his foreknowledge, what could happen. Then he used middle knowledge. He looks at all the worlds that will fit his plan based on counterfactuals, which are our free will choices, what choices we would make under what circumstances. Then he selects the world that he wants to create. And since he knows who will and will not accept the invitation of salvation, he chose a world in which everyone who would accept it could accept it, and everyone else he uses for his own purposes, though he gives everyone sufficient grace to be saved. So let me give you an example of counterfactuals. God knows, for example, that if you were Judas, you would not betray Jesus. It is a fact, hypothetically speaking, that if you were Judas, you would not betray Jesus. And in one of the multiple infinite worlds that God could have created, there was at least one world in which you were Judas. But since in that one world where you were Judas, you, through your free will choices, would not have betrayed Jesus, God did not choose that world because that didn't fit his plan. His plan was for Judas to betray him. So he chose a world that had someone who would not accept the invitation of salvation under any circumstances and would, through their free will choices, betray Christ, be Judas. Does that make sense? Another example would be that, let's say God knew hypothetically that if I was born in the late 20th century in the Midwest America as a Protestant, that I would eventually become Catholic and be saved. Whereas if I were born in, say, the 15th century in South America, I would not be saved. Since he chose a world where all who could be saved would be saved, my situation went into his choices of which world to choose, and he chose one where I would be saved through my free will choices. Now, this is different from the postmodern philosophical pseudoscience that says that those worlds do exist. In other words, this world where you were Judas and did not betray Jesus does indeed exist, we just don't live in it. The Molinist system says that God simply contemplated that world, but since it did not fit into his plan, he chose not to make it. Now, there is also a version of Molinism that has a hard predestination like the Dominican view. This would be what St. Robert Bellarmine believed. that God unconditionally selected those who would be saved and chose the world that those people, through their free will choices, would be saved. As opposed to the more Arminian view that I hold, and I believe it is the original Molinist view that says that he chose the world where everyone who would accept salvation and be saved could accept salvation and be saved. And I don't like the comparison of Molinism and Arminianism because Molinism absolutely came first. Jacob Arminius must have formulated his view of predestination based on Molinism because it is so similar, and it did come later. In fact, he was excommunicated from the Calvinist Church because his view was so Catholic. Now, the Molinist view is kind of the default Catholic view of predestination, or at least a version of it. And I think that's because for the last several decades at least, the Jesuits have dominated Catholic education. Now, both of these views have their problems. The Molinists accuse the Thomists of being crypto-Calvinists, and I kind of agree. I was raised in the Presbyterian Church, and I rejected the Calvinist view of predestination pretty early on. And it's the reason I didn't join the Presbyterian Church when I became of age. The Thomistic view of predestination is the same result as the Calvinist view. Now, there's a major difference in how you get there, but at the end of the day, the only people who are saved are those who God pre-selected unconditionally before time began. And if you're not one of those people, you're not going to be saved no matter what you do. If you are one of those people, you will be saved no matter what you do. And if sufficient grace never actually saves anyone unless God makes it efficacious, then it's not sufficient. I don't believe the Molinist view makes a differentiation between sufficient and efficacious grace, because there's no need. Thomists accuse the Molinists of Pelagianism. You save yourself. Salvation is dependent on what you do. And I can see that that might be a little problematic. But in my opinion, the Molinist view fits perfectly with what the Catholic Church already says about predestination. God wills that all men be saved. He gives everyone sufficient grace to save their souls. And through our free will, we can choose whether or not to accept the gift of salvation. Now, like I said earlier, we are not obliged to choose one of these systems. We are free to formulate our own system so long as it falls in line with what the Catholic Church has already said, or we can simply say that it's a mystery. Somehow God's plan of predestination and providence works with our free will, but we don't know exactly how that works. Until my next video, God bless.